Okay, stand up, folks. Okay, so we are going to be learning a song that for some of many of you will be brand new. You've never heard it before. And for some of you who are on staff, I'm sure Andy Jones knows this song pretty well. You'll remember it. So basically, we're going to sing through the song, and then when we get to a certain part, Carly and I are going to teach you a couple different parts, okay? So, yeah, we'll get started and we'll explain as we go. Okay, the girls are gonna sing. Hang on, we'll start again. The girls are gonna sing with Carly, okay? So you're gonna go.
Pick me up and turn me around and place my feet on solid ground. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Okay, then we're gonna do, the guys are gonna sing a new part that we haven't done yet, okay? It's gonna go, I got love, joy, and peace, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Again, I got love and joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Whoa, oh, yeah. Guys, sing louder. Let's do it again. I got love and joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Whoa, oh, yeah. Ladies are going to join us. Whoa, oh, guys, stay with me.
Pick me joy up and turn me around and righteousness my feet in on the Holy ground. Spirit. Hallelujah.
One more time. Whoa, oh, oh, oh. I got love, joy, and peace, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Whoa, oh, oh, yeah. Whoa, oh, oh, he's been
good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me. Jesus, one more Christmas. So good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me. Jesus, God, love, joy, and peace.
Try just the voices.
I got love,
pick me
and joy,
up and turn me around and place my feet on solid ground.
Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Oh, 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 oh.
Hallelujah.
Oh, oh, oh. I got love,
pick me up and turn me around and place my feet on solid ground.
Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Oh, oh, oh.
Hallelujah.
Oh, oh, one more time. I got love.
Pick me
joy,
up and turn me around and place my feet on
the Holy
ground.
Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Whoa, oh, oh, oh,
hallelujah.
Yeah. Whoa, he's been so good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me. Jesus.
awesome. Hey, give the team a hand. Thanks, guys. That was awesome. Hey, before you sit down, I want you to high-five about 3 or 4 different people that you do not know. Go for it. 2 or 3 people you do not know, you haven't said hi to yet, which means you might have to move. And then grab a seat if you can, please. Thanks, guys. Yo, who's having a great morning so far? Oh, no one else? Who's having a good morning so far? You guys good? It's like half and half. You guys aren't? You're all sad. Who had a good time last night? Last night was a cool way to kick it off, right? Oh, okay. You guys are allowed to talk. You know that, right? When I ask questions, it's awesome to get a response. Cool? Oh, there we go. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to now awkwardly look at someone you don't know. If you know them, look at someone else. Make awkward eye contact. In the count of 3, I want you to yell your name as loud as you can at them. 1, 2, 3. In the count of 3, I want you to yell their name back. 1, 2, 3. I love it. So good. Hey, real quick, my twin brother is here. Everyone say hi, Gil. I love it. Hey, I'm going to pray, and then let's see where it goes. Cool? Lord God, thank you for every person right now. And I'm probably going to say that every single time, because thank you, Lord, that they are here. My hope, as we kind of introduce this theme, this topic, this story that we're going to be focusing on this whole week, my hope is we can find ourselves in it, but through that, we can discover your love through it. So we might be on one end of the spectrum in this room tonight, this morning. My hope is we can see that you love everyone despite where they are on their journey. So speak to me, speak through me, help me, Lord. I need some wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I have a question. We're going to start off with a question, okay? Turn to someone around you and tell them, we'll throw it on the screen right here. What is the worst thing you've ever done? Okay? This can get messy. So turn to someone around you. Turn to one person beside you. Take 2 minutes. What is the worst thing you have ever done? Go for it. Maybe 1 more minute. Make sure everyone gets a shot. What is the worst thing you've ever done? Okay. So hopefully you share the worst thing you've ever done. Hopefully you heard someone share their story on the worst thing they've ever done. Now listen up. From what you heard, on a scale 1 to 10, 10 being like the worst thing you've ever heard in your life, did the person beside you tell you like a 10 out of 10 kind of story? Yeah? I love it. Can I tell you the worst thing I've ever done in my life? Now, I don't think I've ever shared this in public, so already it's so bad. It's so bad. I hope you share my twisted humor. Oh my goodness, I don't know why I'm doing this. Okay, so a long time ago, when I was in grade 6, how old are you? Like 12? 11? Yeah? Well, I asked Santa Claus for Super Nintendo. Anyone remember Super Nintendo? Which was kind of weird, because like Nintendo 64 is out at that point. I know I'm dating myself, but I asked for Super Nintendo. Now, one day, I was in my mom's van, and I was looking for like candy, because you'd hide food in the back of the van. And I discovered Super Nintendo in the back. I'm like, that's weird. Why would my mom also buy me Super Nintendo? So I just didn't really understand what was happening in this moment, but I kind of ignored it, thinking maybe I'll be getting two Super Nintendos. Now, when Christmas came along, Santa didn't give me Super Nintendo. He ended up giving me a basketball net. Anyone play basketball here? Now, this is going to have a domino effect. So, basketball. I know I look athletically challenged, but like I grew up playing basketball. I was like a starter on my high school team in Toronto. One dude I played against got drafted into the NBA. So like ball was like my thing. And it all started because Santa got me a net rather than Super Nintendo. Now this turns into the worst story ever. When you are young, sometimes in your neighborhood, if you're playing sports, you don't always play with like the bigger kids and the better kids. You want to play with the little kids that you're way better than. You know what I'm talking about? The kids you're stronger than and taller than. You like dunk on them and like yell in their face and like, you know, and they go home and crying to their mom. You guys know what I'm talking about? You do? That's weird. Okay, so. I don't know. Okay, here we go. I'm going to share it. I don't care. Okay, so here we go. One day, he was a kid, my next door neighbor. He would always like come over and play, and I'll let him play, and just like, you know, an ego boost on my end. Now, one day, I was walking home from school, and in the distance, I saw him playing on my basketball net without me being there. And I was like, what is this kid doing? Like, he can't play on my net without me there. So I did what any normal human being would do, and I chased him down. I literally ran after him. Why? I don't know. Was he 5 years old? Sure. What did it really matter, okay? He was a little kid. And I said, what are you doing? You're playing on my net. You never asked for permission. And the kid tried to make excuse after excuse. And then the compassion in me came along. And I decided, let's make a deal. I said, if you do whatever I ask, you can use my basketball net anytime you want. So the kid said, sure, sounds like a great idea. Now, I don't want to mess this up. This kid's willing to do anything. Okay, I'm thinking maybe he can cut my lawn for me. Maybe he can, like, you know, clean, you know, go in my house and clean my room. Maybe take, I don't know, my dog for a walk. But I want to make sure this is, like, the best of the best. Now, I had a dog. And one thing I really did not enjoy with my dog is cleaning up after its mess. Don't judge me. Everyone help me here. Repeat after me. Say, Mike, I promise not to judge you. So the deal I made with this 5-year-old kid, I said, you can use my basketball on that anytime you want, but you have to eat that dog poo sitting on the grass. I was immature at this point in my life, okay? You said you won't judge me. I'm telling you, it's the worst thing I've done in my life. So I had to coach him into it, you know? So I'm like kind of like looking around and we find some. And, you know, you have to be, you know, looking for the right stuff. It was like the dry stuff. It was like the wet stuff. There's the one that's so old that start turning white. You guys know what I'm talking about? Oh, I love it. Welcome to camp. I'll say, okay, here we go. But I told him, if you can eat this, you can use my basketball net. I don't know why this kid didn't run away. He must have really liked basketball because he actually listened to me. By far the worst thing I've ever done. Now the weird part of the story, the sad part of the story was he moved away like 6 weeks later. I hope it named like LeBron or Kobe or something because it was totally not worth it. So by far, that was like the worst thing I've ever done in my life. I regret it. That's a 10 out of 10, like terrible, terrible, terrible. P.S. If you are that kid and moved to B.C. to get away from me, I am so sorry if you're sitting here. So here we go. I say it for this reason. I say that's like the worst thing that I have ever done. And I'm sure like when I share this story, it's very easy to kind of throw me in a category way over here. Now, as we're going to go through this story through the week, the prodigal son. Sometimes if you kind of grew up in the church, we just start with a story and start going all the way through. We miss out the conversation that happened at the very beginning of this chapter. I mean, tell the story like we're talking about two different people in the story, but actually Jesus is talking to two different people in real life. So if you have a Bible, anyone have a Bible here today? If you want to turn to Luke chapter 15, that'd be kind of cool. If you don't have a Bible, that's okay. We're going to put it on the screen in a second. If you want to go to Luke 15, verse 1, that would be super duper awesome. I'm going to throw this on the screen right here, please. Now, we're just going to read verse 1. Cool?
Cool.
1, 2, 3, ready, read. So when we open this up, before we even get to the story, we're going to be focusing on this entire week. It starts off. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around Jesus. In that culture, the tax collectors and the sinners, they were considered like the worst of the worst. The 10 out of 10, the people in that culture who would have been so far away from God and anything that had to do with him and his way of life. Kind of interesting. And they're all gathered around Jesus. Now the tax collector, they kind of have a funny history in that culture, in that time in Israel. Has anyone ever been to Israel before? No? Cool. That's okay. I was just speaking at a church in Jerusalem just a few months ago. Like, go there if you ever have an opportunity. But when you go there, long, 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 long time ago, that part, that area, was run by what they call the Roman Empire. Everyone say Roman Empire. Say it one more time. Roman Empire. Okay, so the Roman Empire, the way things worked in that time, they wanted to take over the whole world. The guy running the world at that point, his name was Caesar Augustus. And he had this mindset. He said, basically, as far as the earth goes, so will we. They wanted to take over everything. And they would march into different areas with their army, with all their weapons, with all their power. And usually they're so big that it would take over anything and everyone. Now, they wouldn't, like, you know, just like kill everybody unless they rejected the Roman Empire. But the people who did not reject, they were forced to live according to the customs of the Roman Empire. Now, the Roman Empire, they got so big, well, they need money to start funding all these things. And they would also, what they would do when they take over a certain area, they would charge taxes to the people who would stay there. So they would find local people who will kind of help out on the behalf of the Roman Empire. And they would charge taxes to anyone who's living there, anything they gather, any food they get. But a tax collector, the reason why they were considered like the worst of the worst, they completely ripped people off. But let's say the Roman Empire wanted 50% of your money, of your income. Well, a tax collector will come along and say, well, we want 80%. And they'll keep the 30% themselves. And as a result, it's led to poverty, oppression, people losing their home, people losing their land that they've inherited over the years. So in that culture, when someone heard the term tax collector or came across a tax collector, they were considered like the people way over here, the worst of the worst in that culture. And then the sinners, this is someone who just probably didn't know God, who didn't follow God, who didn't keep his commands. And I think it's very safe to say this group right here, this is not a group that walked away from God. I think it's very safe to say this is a group just who never knew him. And in that culture, you would never see someone like Jesus sitting down with the worst of the worst in their mindset. So as we think of tax collectors, as we think of sinners, here's what I want. I want you to turn to someone beside you, maybe a couple people beside you. What are some characteristics that you can think of? Maybe a tax collector or sinner, or someone who's like very far, far, far off from God. Maybe you talk about a couple of quick things in a minute and a half. Go for it. Turn to someone beside you. What are some characteristics of maybe someone who's far, far off from God? Sinner, tax collector. Go for it. In 45 seconds. 20 seconds. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, anyone, maybe we can ask, I'm going to ask for maybe two or three answers. Maybe what's some characteristic when you look at tax collectors and sinners in this story? Someone who considered far off from God. What are some characteristics that kind of come to mind? Anyone, maybe two or three? You probably just shared it. There's no wrong answer. Sure, yeah, awesome. Liars, totally right. Thieves, yeah, people who steal, perfect, totally. Maybe one more idea? Yep, corrupt, maybe you in the back. Pardon me? Yeah, it's totally cool. So we probably all had an idea of what that looked like in that culture. Which in some way, shape, or form probably doesn't look much different than our culture. So we get this image. Jesus has this group gathered around him, which is quite profound. But then the scriptures continue. You still have your Bible out? We go to verse number 2. Everyone say number 2. And here's what it says on the next slide, please. 1, 2, 3, ready, read. So as these people in that culture are considered so far away and so far off from God, they're sitting with Jesus, they're eating with Jesus. And now we see this other group enter the picture called Pharisees and teachers of the law. Has anyone ever heard of the term Pharisees before or teachers of the law? If you haven't, totally, totally cool. Now in this culture, the Pharisees and the experts and teachers of the law, they would have been considered the ones that were seen to be as close to God as they possibly can get. So we see a scene where, in this picture, we see people so far off from God, but now we also see the people in that culture who would have been considered so close to him. A Pharisee, these are people who kind of started, you know, rising up in between what they call the Old Testament and New Testament. We start seeing religious leaders come along, and religious leaders, they would do a good job trying to help people obey the scriptures and obey the laws. But they kind of went maybe a little too legalistic, a little too crazy on some of these things. About 152 years before Jesus, we see the Pharisees rise up. And the Pharisees, they had like, you know, the scripture, they wanted people to obey the scriptures. But the way they wanted people to obey them was they kind of add their own laws and own rules and own way of following them on top of it. And they actually gave the scriptures and God's word the same kind of credibility as their word. And as they were maybe trying their best, as they were teach and share what they were ultimately doing as a result, they were missing it. Because they were actually like keeping people away and pushing them away from God. So I can imagine them seeing Jesus associating with these tax collectors and sinners. And as you see, they're kind of like, what? Which I think speaks very loudly to who Jesus is. I'm going to throw three quick things your way, and then we'll wrap it up. Cool? Really, it's going to be like super duper quick. Number one, on the next slide, please. Things that we see. Oh, I mean, you know, we'll go to the next one. We'll go to the next one. Here we see with Jesus. We see him with people far away from God, people super duper close. And one thing I want us to know is he is with everyone. He is with everyone. Now, we know on a surface level, we're like, well, obviously, but it's not that obvious. You look at our culture, and we have this perspective that Jesus is just with the people who are close to him. But in this story, he is sitting down eating a meal with the tax collectors and sinners. That would have been kind of considered a no-no in that time. Jesus is with everyone, no matter how close or no matter how far off. I want you to understand that because it plays a big part in this whole story. Number two, everyone say number two. Jesus speaks to everyone. For some reason, we think this book called the Bible, anyone heard of the Bible before? We think it's a book for Christians, and it's not. It's a book for humans. It isn't just a book for a select few group of people. Now, when Jesus speaks, he's going to go into this story about the lost son, the prodigal son. And he's not just sharing the story to one side or the other. When he speaks, speaks, it's for everyone who's in that picture, in this story, listening, from the tax collector to the sinners, from the Pharisees to the experts and teachers of the law. He speaks to everyone. And the reason why his story we're going to talk about this week is so popular, it really reaches everyone from one end of the spectrum to the other. And number three, on the last one here, Jesus loves everyone. Now, I know you heard that 800 million times in your life. Talk to someone who's 22. It seems like they forget it. Talk to someone who's gone through a hard time in life. It seems like they've forgotten that God loves them. Talk to someone in our culture, and maybe the same thing is the idea of God being with everyone. Some people believe God is just with the people who just love him, and that's not true. God loves everyone. And we see this in this picture. He's spending time with the people maybe in that culture we would have just considered to be over there and stay over there. And I say that for this reason, and we kind of introduced this a little bit last night, but in this room, I understand we are people from one end of the spectrum to another. Maybe someone's here and you identify with being a Christian. Awesome. Maybe you're here and you don't identify with being a Christian. Awesome, because I thank God that you're here. Maybe you identify with being a Christian, but maybe you're living a life that looks a little more like this. Maybe you don't identify with being a Christian, but the life that you live actually lines a lot up with how the Bible calls us to live. And I want you to know, wherever you are, God is with you, and he is here. And this week, he can speak, and maybe not an audible voice, but through the talk, maybe something might resonate with where we are. And this story we're going to share, like I mentioned, for everyone. And regardless of where you are and what you believe and what you do and where you are on this journey, in this moment, he loves you. And that won't change tomorrow. I won't change by Tuesday. He loved you, and this is a story for you. So before I pray, we're going to have some more worship, but when we go into our group discussion, we're going to do something a little bit different. Rather than just sitting there and being like, here's the answer for question one, here's the answer for question two, question three, I want you to go and maybe discuss this talk a little bit. And then in your cabin, here's what I want you to do. I want you to come up with three questions that relate to this conversation we had this morning. And then tonight, I'm going to gather some of these questions, and we're going to answer them, your question, based off this idea. Sound good? I'm going to pray, and I'll bring the worship team back up. Lord God, thank you for this moment again. And this is just a little introduction, Father. But I think it's a good introduction, because this story we're going to be talking about, it's a story for everyone. It's a story that speaks to everyone. It's a story that should tell and remind everyone that you love them, period. And again, I know on a surface level, maybe we're sitting here, we're like, yeah, I know. But I think deep down, there's these moments where maybe we wonder, maybe we question it. Maybe there's people here who think they're getting it and might realize they aren't. Or maybe there's people here who feel like they missed it, and my hope is they realize this week they didn't. But every morning, every evening, Lord, my hope is we can just have that message that you love us just embedded into our soul and every part of our being. Speak to us in personal ways. In other words, I hope something resonates with us. Big or small, help us. I thank you that you do love everyone. I thank you you're going to speak to all of us this week. You are with us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
So we're going to sing a few more songs here before we move on with our day. And you can stand up. As we sing these songs, and as we sing all the songs throughout the week, the songs are chosen to reflect the message that Mike is sharing with us. I'm still waiting for you guys to be quiet. The songs are chosen to reflect the message that Mike is sharing with us, and it's the gospel message. You're going to learn a little bit about more about what that means as the week goes on. But if you don't know the songs, or if you're just learning them, or if you aren't person who sings, I encourage you to just look at the words and reflect on them. And if you have questions about them, you can come and ask any of us or ask your cabin leader. Okay, so don't feel like you need to understand everything that we're singing about. You can ask questions and you can reflect on them. Amen. Thank you for singing. Take your seats. We're going to have a few more things said this morning before we dismiss you. First of all, cabin leaders, please remember that you need to check the activity period schedule for where you're beginning your activity period rotation today, okay? So you should each have a schedule that you've been given that has where you need to go today for activity period and for every day that we're at camp. And please ensure that your campers are wearing appropriate attire for whatever your activity is today. For example, if you're on the upper field, you need to be in athletic wear. If you're at the swim dock, you need to be in your swim stuff. Okay, and the second thing for cabin leaders was one cabin leader from each cabin. Please meet Mackenzie at the back of the chapel once everybody's been dismissed. Okay, one cabin leader from each cabin at the back of the chapel once everyone else has been dismissed. And Linda.
So from here, we head to our cabins for cabin time. And cabin time is just that, a time to be with your cabin for focused discussion around our time in chapel, about your life. It's a time to listen to one another. So right now, you guys are structured in such a way that you're ready to hear and respond. So you are being quiet. You're looking my way. It's just simple little things that make me feel like I'm being heard by you. And it makes a difference because you are, it gives me confidence as I speak, and it allows you to pay attention to what I'm saying. And the same thing goes when you're in your cabins right now. When your cabin time comes, your cabin leaders are in charge. They're wanting to connect with you. And so some things to consider, first of all, is your posture. This isn't a nap time. You can grab an extra sleep during free time if you're tired. But cabin time is to be sitting up, to be looking at one another, maybe gathering in a circle, going to a place where you guys can pay attention to one another. And then also to contribute. So to listen to the people that are sharing, being respectful of what they are saying. We're not making fun of one another. We want it to be a safe place. And giving a chance for other people to speak and to hear one another. Might be talking in small groups and pairs and then coming back to tell the whole group something. So it's just an opportunity for discussion. We have lots of the day where we all talk at the same time and talk about whatever we'd like, and that's most of the day. And so this is a focused time for discussion. Further to that, as Mike already mentioned, we'd love to hear back from you what questions are coming up in your conversations, in your mind about what we're talking about. And so your cabin leader, please write down three questions from your cabin. Get them to Mike at lunchtime. And then tonight we'll answer a few of those here in our chapel time to give a sense of what we're all thinking as a camp. So that is about 45 minutes that we'll be moving to cabin time. And Gil is going to come, our actual mystery director who's arrived this morning. Let's give him a hand as he...
So I'm not going to lie, I'm a little bit upset. You guys left me behind yesterday. Here I am talking to one of your parents. I think it was maybe Ethan or Alicia's dad. And yeah, don't worry, we'll take care of your kids. Yeah, the boat's great. And you mean that boat? That boat that's leaving? Nobody said anything? Nobody said the director's not on board? Like I stood there thinking... I was thinking maybe Dave Fletcher is a pilot. I envisioned him maybe knocking out the captain and taking control of the boat and swinging around and pick me up. Nothing. I started calling and texting everyone, and nobody answered their phones. Not one person. Right? And then the middle of the day, I get all these texts back. You're not here? What? No, you're here. We saw you. Anyway, so that's not cool. Okay, so, and I assume you guys didn't do anything yesterday, right? Just sat here, right, waiting for me. So, officially welcome to Camp 7. Grayson didn't do that yesterday, did he? No, okay. Anyways, so happy that you guys are up here. I'm glad that I'm up here. The night before camp is always can't sleep. So I had two nights because I couldn't sleep the night before camp, and I couldn't sleep last night coming up to camp today. But so happy you guys are here. I am one of 80 people, 80 staff members that are here to serve you this week, all right? And so if you have, like, anything you want to complain about or things aren't going right, see Grayson, okay? If things are going well and you want to tell us how great camp is, you can tell me that, all right? And if Grayson's not around, see Gatlin, He's assistant to the assistant director. All right, that's it. Okay, so how do you guys want me to dismiss him?